Welcome to our worship service this morning, the second Sunday in Advent. And hello to those of you in the corner there. I'll see you again in January. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. Our focus on today's service is on the World Development Appeal, Farming God's Ways. So we'll be looking at that during the children's talk and then later on in the service. But for now, let's bow our heads as we come before him in our opening prayer, a prayer for Advent. Let us pray. God of eternal hope, in this season of Advent, we pray that you would meet with us and prepare our hearts to receive the coming King once again. We rejoice, O Lord, that he brings good news to the poor, and we pray that you would strengthen and encourage us to share that good news with others this Advent season. We rejoice, Lord, that Christ proclaims freedom for the captive. And so we pray for all who are in slavery, whether that is physical bondage or spiritual bondage. And we pray that Christ's words would break the binds which tie them, and that they would know true freedom that comes from being united in Christ. We rejoice, O Lord, that Christ heals the brokenhearted. So we pray for an outpouring of your mercy and grace this Advent season that would heal the hearts of those who are broken, those who are sorrowful or despairing, that they may be restored to fullness of life. And we rejoice, O Lord, that Christ rules with justice and integrity. And so we pray that his voice would be heard in the streets and marketplaces of our towns and villages, in the places of power and influence, in our police and justice systems, in Stormont and in Westminster. And we pray that his voice would be heard in our own lives, challenging us to live with peace and prosperity. We rejoice in the good news that you bring to the poor, to the captive, to the brokenhearted, to the rejected. And we pray that your good news would be proclaimed through the work and witness of this, our congregation, and throughout our denomination, and across your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And in that continuing theme of Advent, we'll sing our opening hymn, which is a familiar Advent hymn, 299, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
children would like to come to the front, I have some things I'd like to share with you this morning. Great to see you this morning. Well, this is the season of Advent, so it's the time when we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus and to celebrate his birth at Bethlehem. And we'll do that at Christmas, and I understand that you're rehearsing at the moment in Sunday school some nice songs that you're going to sing with us in a couple of weeks, so we look forward to hearing that then. But one of the other things that we do in our church at this time of the year is to think about people who don't have the same things that we have. People that actually live in some parts of the world who won't get a Sunday dinner today. Can you imagine that, Henry? Imagine not getting a Sunday dinner. What about that, Lewis? What do you think? No, they won't get any dinner because they don't have any food. Isn't that sad? They'll not even get Christmas dinner either. So that's why we have decided that we're going to try and help the boys and girls in this world. And we're going to help them by raising some money during this month through a thing called the World Development Appeal. Now, if somebody didn't have any food for dinner, what might you do for them? Lewis, if somebody didn't have dinner in their food in their house for dinner, what might you do for them? Buy some dinner for them. It's not just perfect. You could buy some dinner. Now, if they lived far, far, far away, you might actually send the money over there so that other people could buy some food for them. And I have brought with me some food. I don't know if you like this part of your dinner or not, do you? Blech. Lovely, healthy vegetables. Broccoli and cauliflower and peppers and potatoes and carrots. Your granny grows the vegetables. Homegrown vegetables. I know what house I'm going to if I need a Christmas dinner, Josh. Lovely. But you know something? We're not going to send them vegetables for their Christmas dinner with the money we raise. We're going to send them this. Would you like to eat that for your Christmas dinner? Yuck. Now, Josh, chocolate, you might look a little bit like chocolate. Your granny would definitely know what these were. That's right. Well done, Charlie. Seeds. So instead of sending, apologies, Erwin, you've got carrot seed all over the floor. Instead of sending the vegetables, we're going to send them money and they are going to buy things like this. Henry, what do you think of this? Henry. We're going to send these vegetables. They're seeds. And then they're going to be able to grow their vegetables. Now, if they plant the seeds and grow the vegetables and eat them, what can they do? They can plant the seeds again the next year and the next year. And they can continue to grow food for their families, not just for one Christmas dinner, but for Christmas dinner every year. And we're also going to send out, and they're going to buy this. Do you think you would like that for Christmas? It's a bottle, an empty bottle. And can you tell me what's wrong with the bottle, the bottom?
It has holes.
It has holes in it. It's a bottle of water with holes in it.
We don't like that.
You don't like that. So if you put water in there, what's going to happen to the water? It's going to fall out, Caitlin. And that is actually what they use for a watering can. An empty bottle, plastic bottle of water, making good use of plastic. And reusing it, and then they'll be able to sprinkle the water. Because in the country that they live in Mozambique, it's very, very dry. And they don't have a lot of water. And so they need to put it over the plants sparingly rather than at the minute they're just shoveling a whole lot of water on top of it and then the little seeds all get waterlogged and don't grow. So they're teaching them techniques like that. And they're going to give them string. What might you use string for when you're planting seeds? Yep. You don't know. Do you know, Josh? Tie things, that's a good idea to tie things. But actually, because their soil is not like our lovely fertile soil, they can't put the seeds too closely together. So they have to make sure that they separate them. So they use this piece of string because they don't have any measuring tape. And they use string and they put some seed here and some seed here and then move it along. So we'll be buying some string and some bottles of empty water, some canes. And do you see what's on the bottom of the cane? Stripes. And that stripe depends on what they're planting. That will tell them whether they need to put the seed this far down in the soil, or this far down in the soil, or this far down in the soil. And then we're going to give them some gardening tools. Tools that your granny probably has, Josh, when she's doing her garden. So world development, yes, we try to help people when they're in need. And during the year, if there was like a cyclone or an earthquake or something like that, we would do a moderator's appeal and we raise money, and that money gets sent out immediately to buy food and emergency equipment for the people who need it right then and there. But the world development appeal is different. It sends money out to projects that work long term with people in poor parts of the country and poor parts of the world, helping them to do sustainable farming so that they're able to provide for their own families. So here, hopefully, when they get all the finances from us and buy all the goods that they need, year on year, they will be able to grow enough vegetables in their back garden to feed their families. So that's what the money from the World Development Appeal is doing, helping to share with others our good resources. Because we're part of one big wide world. So we're going to sing your hymn, which is "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," because God is in control of everything. And he wants us to share all that we have with one another. After this song, then, it's time for Jigsaw and Blast. He's got the whole world in his hands. Hymn 118. I'd just like to bring a couple of notices to your attention. The first one sadly relates to a death that we've had in the congregation. Sadly, Mrs. Eileen Graham passed away last weekend. Her funeral service took place in First Oma on Tuesday. We remember her husband, Robert, and their son, Adrian, and his wife and the grandchild in our thoughts and prayers. I'd like to draw attention to a number of services and events that are taking place over the Christmas period. These are just a couple of the events that are taking place. We have a number of others. So please do look at the notices to make sure you don't miss out on something that you would like to come along to. The first one relates to the service this afternoon, which is a Reflecting on Loss service. This service is taking place this afternoon at 4 o'clock here in the church. An opportunity for people who have lost a loved one and feel that loss more keenly at Christmas time to come for a quiet service of reflection, an opportunity to draw aside from the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season and to reflect quietly together in worship before God. And then after the service, we'll go through for a cup of tea in the Rowan Hall. So that's this afternoon at 4, and that service is open to anyone who would like to attend. Then on Friday evening, the fellowship subcommittee of session are organising a table quiz in order to raise funds for Tear Fund. And so that quiz is on Friday the 13th of December at 8 o'clock in the evening. And so we would encourage people to come along and join in. There probably is a size limit to the teams, but I'm sure Margaret and Peter won't be too strict in their application of that. But it should be a good fun night, so please do encourage friends and family to come along next Friday evening for that quiz to raise money for Tear Fund. And then next Sunday morning, we're having our traditional gift day service, which will take place next Sunday, and we'll collect at that service gifts, toys for the NSPCC appeal, and they will be delivered then to the office in the West up in Londonderry on Monday. So please, if you're able, purchase a gift this week for a child or a teenager and bring it to church next week, and we will collect it during the service. The NSPCC are grateful for any gifts that you bring to them. They have asked if it would be possible not to wrap the gift, because they'll only have to unwrap the wrappings just to make sure that they're maybe giving a brother and a sister something that's similar. In the past, they maybe handed someone a selection box, which was lovely, and the child really appreciated it, but then maybe the brother or the sister got, you know, a very expensive toy. So rather than there be disparity in the households, they would prefer that the gifts come unwrapped or in gift bags that they're able to see what it is, so they can make up parcels of equivalent value and enjoyment for each child in the home. But if you want to, you can still wrap it, but bear in mind the paper will be taken off before the child receives it and then rewrapped for the child on Christmas morning. There are a number of other events taking place this week. We've got a Wrigley Nativity taking place in our toddle along on Thursday and a youth social on Saturday evening. The details of those can be found in the announcement, so please pass that information on to anyone who might be interested in it. As we mentioned to the children, a World Development Appeal this morning is looking at farming and farming in God's ways. So the Presbyterian Church in Ireland has developed a video to help us see the people that the funds will be benefiting this year. So we'll watch, hopefully, the video on the screen now.
Sou Horacio Valoy, sou coordenador do projeto.
My name is Horacio Valoy, and I am the project's coordinator at CDES in Mozambique.
Para o desenvolvimento social.
CDES means Ecumenical Committee for Social Development. We started working with Tear Fund about 6 years ago with the training of the Umoja Bible Resource. Umoja trains communities in conservation agriculture grounded in Bible studies, which show them that they should use their own locally available resources. Peter and John helped a crippled man to walk, but this man walked because he also had faith that he'll be able to walk. We also worked a lot on Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus did not import anything to give food to those people. He just used what was locally available. These Bible studies and others helped the community to understand that they should be self-sustainable.
The greatest challenge was food security, especially if we would have less rain. It meant we would have less food and less money. We used to only eat once a day. CDES came and they taught us the new farming techniques. After they taught us about agriculture, they also taught us about savings. That way, after selling our produce, we saved some of the money in the savings group.
Before the farming, I used to participate in fishing at the sea, helping to pull in the nets. It was difficult because it would depend on us catching fish.
In conservation agriculture, nothing is lost. Nothing is new. Nothing is lost. We recycle everything that the lowland gives us. The other thing is not using of chemical pesticides or fertilizers, because these destroy the soil. We do mulching to keep the soil fertile and improve the quality of the produce.
First, we put the groundnut leaves. After that, we cover them with the soil and then put grass on top. After putting grass, we do the planting of the seedlings, including some bats droppings. We use watering cans. We water in the morning and in the afternoon. Before learning this technique, we would water once a day, and using buckets, we would just splash the water on the plants. The difference with preparing the land in this new way is that the plants grow faster, the leaves grow bigger, and they can start harvesting early. We produce kale, carrots, onions, pepper, and lettuce.
They have money to educate and clothe their children. Even in the church, the relationship has improved, and there's also interaction in the Bible studies. They know the problems and challenges that each person faces. There are times that I get so emotional to a point of tears, just knowing that I was part of that development.
I would love to extend my farm so that I can double the production and have enough money to fully take care of my family. One of the dreams is to improve our house. We will build a house using bricks.
Our relationship with God improved when CDs came to work with us because they are a Christian organization. The Bible studies that we have been doing have improved our relationship with God. This kind of farming helps us in soil conservation. It also helps in productivity, and it will be good if this kind of farming expands to other regions. I want to say thank you for the support that you are giving to CDs and for them to come and train us, giving us these techniques. We want to say thank you so much.
So hopefully that's given you a little bit of an insight into the work of the World Development Appeal through their Tear Front partner, and how they're helping the people in Mozambique. We come now to our prayers for others, and again, this prayer has been written for us by the World Development Appeal Committee, so we will use it as our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Mozambique. Let us pray. Living and eternal God, whose greatness is evident in the wonders of the earth, the surging of the seas, and the vast expanse of outer space, we praise you, for you are almighty. On earth and sky and sea, we find traces of your glory, beauty that takes our breath away, splendors that delight us, such diversity of plan, such attention to detail, that we appreciate afresh your artistic nature upon and within creation. Your greatness, though, is yet more evident in your Son, Jesus, full of grace and truth, the one who reveals your glory, even as he exposes our misery, the misery of those who have turned from your ways to pursue our own paths, coming to grief in sorrow, sin, and shame. We thank you that you have not left us to languish, but have come to us in Christ, calling us back from our lost existence, welcomed home by your saving love, fully forgiven at the cost of Christ's own life. Yet even we enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God, let us not mistake such liberty for license, vanity, or apathy. By your Spirit's work within and among us, may we recognize that our redemption is the root of true repentance, and with it comes the obligation to play our part in the wider mission of the body of Christ, including these, our prayers of intercession. We pray, O God, for the church in Mozambique, especially for the role of Horacio Valioy as he seeks to develop the work of CDs among the local community. In an extreme environment where poverty and climate change are not just abstract theories or topics for debate, but the stark realities of everyday life. We ask that you will give the people in Horacio the means to turn harsh facts into grounds for hope. We pray that your promises of old may help sow the seeds for creative change, new life coming to birth before their very eyes as they till the soil and work the fields. Let them discover afresh that the wisdom of the scriptures is as productive in farming the earth as learning in classrooms or study groups, partnering together in the tasks of the gospel. When setbacks occur, disasters strike, or challenges emerge along life's way, grant to your people the tenacity to endure and the capacity to overcome. So may they live to your glory and inspire us by their story, a witness of trust and hope and togetherness. These things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next hymn is a new one to you. The words will appear on the screen. It's a hymn that has been written closely following Martin Luther King's speech, I Have a Dream. And today our thoughts are with the people in Mozambique and the dream that they have for their future, but also the dream that we have that God's reality of heaven will come to bear here on earth. So we will join together as we sing this. The tune should be a familiar tune to you. So let us stand and worship God together.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8. And this can be found on page 918 of the Bibles in the pews. Zechariah chapter 8, and we're going to listen to the whole chapter. Zechariah 8, page 918 of the Old Testament section in the pews. Let's listen to God's vision or his dream for the children of Israel. The Lord Almighty gave this message to Zechariah. I have longed to help Jerusalem because of my deep love for her, a love which has made me angry with her enemies. I will return to Jerusalem, my holy city, and live there. It will be known as the faithful city and the hill of the Lord. And the hill of the Lord Almighty will be called the sacred hill. Once again, old men and women, so old that they use a stick when they walk, will be sitting in the city squares. And the streets will again be full of boys and girls playing. This may seem impossible to those of the nation who are now left, but it's not impossible for me. I will rescue my people from the lands where they have been taken, and will bring them back from east and west to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be their God, ruling over them faithfully and justly. Have courage. You are now hearing the same words the prophet spoke at the time the foundation was being laid for rebuilding my temple. Before that time, no one could afford to hire either men or animals, and no one was safe from his enemies. I turned people against one another. But now I am treating the survivors of this nation differently. They will sow their crops in peace. Their vines will bear grapes. The earth will produce crops, and there will be plenty of rain. I will give all these blessings to the people of my nation who survive, people of Judah and Israel. In the past, foreigners have cursed one another by saying, "May the same disasters fall on you that fell on Judah and Israel." But I will save you. And then those foreigners will say to one another, "May you receive the same blessings that came to Judah and Israel. So have courage and don't be afraid." The Lord Almighty says, "When your ancestors made me angry, I planned disaster for them, and did not change my mind, but carried out my plans. But now I am planning to bless the people of Judah and Israel. So don't be afraid. These are the things you should do. Speak the truth to one another. In the courts, give real justice, the kind that brings peace. Do not plan ways of harming one another. Do not give false testimony under oath. I hate lying, injustice, and violence." The Lord Almighty gave this message to Zechariah. The fasts held in the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become festivals of joy and gladness for the people of Judah. You must love truth and peace. The Lord Almighty says the time is coming when people from many cities will come to Jerusalem. Those from one city will say to those from another, "We are going to worship the Lord Almighty and pray for his blessing. Come with us." Many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Almighty and to pray for his blessing. In those days, 10 foreigners will come to one Jew and say, "We want to share in your destiny because we have heard that God is with you." Amen, and we thank God for his word. "I had a dream, Joseph. I don't understand it, but it was about a birthday celebration for our son. The people in my dream had been preparing for about 6 weeks. They had decorated the house and bought themselves new clothing. They had gone shopping many times and bought many elaborate gifts. It was peculiar, though, because the presents weren't for our son. They wrapped them in beautiful paper and stacked them under a tree. Yes, a tree, Joseph, right inside their homes. They decorated the tree with sparkling ornaments. There was a figure like an angel on the top of the tree. Everyone was laughing and happy. They gave gifts to each other, Joseph, but not to our son. I don't think they even knew him. They never mentioned his name. I had the strangest feeling that if our Jesus had gone to this celebration, he would have been intruding. How sad for someone not to be wanted at his own birthday party. I'm glad it was only a dream. How terrible, Joseph, if it had been real. I heard this monologue at the Carers' Carol service in the Mellon Hotel this week, on the first of my many Christmas carol services. And it struck me how terribly true this monologue was in our society today. People rushing around preparing to celebrate Christmas with little or no thought for the reason behind the celebrations, the birth of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. As a minister, I am aware of the reason behind the celebrations, of course, and I will attend dozens of carol services over the next month. But I questioned myself, do I really make room in my diary and in my heart to truly celebrate the reason for this season? Or is it just one more event that I have to go to, one more round of carols that I have to sing? Will I be willing to make room in my life for Jesus this Christmas? Does anybody really make room for him today? Or have we allowed traditions to overtake the reason why we celebrate? Then on Thursday, I got a phone call from the Ulster Herald asking me for comment concerning the absence of the council's nativity scene from the centre of town this year. I don't know if you've noticed, but the nativity scene that had been shown in Bridge Street is no longer there. Apparently the council have renovated that part of the area, turning it into a garden, and so there's no room for the nativity crib. And the council have yet to identify a suitable alternative. It used to be up opposite the Danske Bank, but apparently it got vandalised, and so it got moved to Bridge Street behind a fence to protect it from vandals. Does anyone have room for Jesus this Christmas? Well, a number of concerned citizens contacted the Ulster Herald to complain about this and asked them to run a piece in their paper that there appeared to be no room in Omagh for the nativity this year. In one way, it is a sad indictment of our society. But those few phone calls that were made highlight that there are people here in our town who care enough to do something about it. In the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and Christmas parties, some people took time aside to take action and to remind us of the real reason that we celebrate at Christmas. They sought to challenge the growing secularisation in our marketplaces. They took the opportunity to speak out for the things of faith to the press. They were willing to address the imbalance, to seek to right the wrong. And isn't that what Christians should be doing in society? Speaking up for the gospel, addressing those imbalances that we see in society, seeking to right the wrongs, being willing to make a stand against injustice, being willing to bear Christ's light in the darkness of our world, and provide hope to those who are in despair. That's certainly what Christian Aid and Tear Fund Christian organisations are seeking to do for those in the third world. Speaking out for those who have no voices, seeking to right the wrongs of injustice and climate change and poverty and discrimination. It's why we as a denomination, the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, support the World Development Appeal each year in order to help those organisations, to help others in other parts of our world who are suffering. It is no coincidence that the Church has decided to hold its World Development Appeal in the month of December. It might seem to its people that we have enough stress on our finances, getting Christmas presents and Christmas turkeys and Christmas jumpers and paying for Christmas parties, to have to give to another appeal within the Church. And yet, surely, our first call should be to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves. To think of people who do not have the spare money to buy unnecessary and often unused Christmas presents for other people. People who do not even remember whose birthday it is they're celebrating. The world is a fragile and a dangerous place, and this year the funds are going to people in Mozambique, a population of 1.5 million people who are affected by drought. It's an area that has had instability in recent years with civil war, and at the moment there is an uneasy peace between government and opposition forces. But it's a part of the world at the bottom of Africa, to the right-hand side, that is prone to natural disasters. And when cyclones come or heavy rains, then the people are unable to supply food for themselves. And so Tear Fund's partner are seeking to address that. And they're going out to villages and towns, teaching people how to use the resources that God has already given them. And they do that through Bible study. We all are very familiar with the story of the little boy with the two loaves and the five loaves and the two fish. I always get that wrong. Is it the two loaves and five fish? Don't know. Audrey. Five loaves and two fish. Yeah, I always get that wrong. Having it written down. So the five loaves and the two fish, and how 5,000 people were fed because of what that little boy had. And so we looked at that many times here in the church to see how God takes what we have and he uses it to bring abundant blessing when we're willing to give it to him. So through teaching that particular story, an event to the people in Mozambique, the name of the place I can't remember, Irahasaru, I think it's called. Anyway, they taught this to the villagers, and then they showed the villagers how they could apply that, to look around to see what they have to hand and how they can use those resources to improve their own farming techniques. And as a result, people have begun to have better harvests, and they're hoping to roll this program out to other regions so that others will bear fruit from that. And I don't know if you noticed in the video, there was a little line that a lady had said, and she said that she dreams that there will be an opportunity for her one day to have a house made of brick. That's her dream, to have a house made of brick. One probably single room dwelling, but made of brick. Why brick? Because it will sustain and stand in flood and wind much better than our current mud hut. Dreams are important, aren't they? Everyone has dreams for a better future for their loved ones. With the help of the World Development Appeal, we can help make that dream a reality for those in Mozambique. But what about ourselves here in Uma? What dreams can we have here of a future? A better future for our children, for our town, and for our nation. And how can we tie that in with our Christian faith and our hope in the gospel? This week, 12th of December, sees another general election in the United Kingdom. And I hope that each person here will exercise their right to vote, because we can't complain about the results if we don't seek to make a difference by casting our vote. We are privileged to have the right to determine our government. There are many people throughout this world who live in unjust regimes and under dictatorships who do not have that right. Now, we may not know who we want to vote for, but we'll seek God's guidance, we'll ask for his blessing, and we'll cast our vote, and then we will pray for the government that's elected. In Jeremiah 29 and 7, the Lord reminds the people who are in exile under a foreign regime to seek the prosperity and the peace of the city that they're living in, the city that they were called into in exile. Pray to the Lord for that city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And so when we elect our government on Thursday, uphold them in prayer before God. Yes, we may be living in a bleak and a dark place politically, socially in this world today, and in our nation in particular. But the Lord has plans for our future, and he wants us to exercise our opportunities that we've been given to make those plans, God's plans, a reality. And we can do that through the ballot box, but we can also do it through the way in which we live our lives in society today. And God has a great plan for our future. In Zechariah chapter 8, we saw the vision that he had for his people who were in exile. He saw the future. He saw the blessing that he wanted to bring to his people. And it's the same today. The Lord loves us just as he loved the people of Israel. Even when we get things wrong, he still loves us. And he wants us to live in a world where the future is bright and full of hope. He longs for this place, for this nation, for this world to be a faithful people, serving God and caring for one another, longing for the peace and prosperity of our society around us. And God paints this wonderful picture of the future where God's people are restored to Jerusalem and old men and women and walking sticks. Did you know that the Lord had a vision for you? For those whose mobility is going, that as you walk in the city centre and as you take a seat in the park, the Lord is blessing you even in your old age. As you see the children thronging around, laughing and playing, and the vitality that God wishes for our communities. Places where we can live and dwell in safety. Sometimes we think that's not possible. Society has drifted so far away from God's plan for us. But we remember that all things are possible with God. A young virgin girl was conceived by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Something that was impossible was made possible. And if we trust and believe in the Lord and in his love for us, then our society can be transformed. But he needs us to take action. God needs us to act and to live and to work in his ways. He tells the people of Israel, and he tells us today, that he wants us to be people who speak the truth to one another, to be people who are willing to administer true justice, the justice that brings peace. He tells us not to plan ways of harming other people, or giving false testimony about other people, because God hates lies, injustice, and violence. So he calls us to live according to his commands. And if we live according to those commands, then he will bless our society. Today we have thought a little bit about dreams, the dream of Mary, and the society that appeared to not be able to even celebrate the birth of her son because they didn't even know his name. We have sung a song based on Martin Luther's dream, the dream that one day both men who were black and men who were white could live in peace and harmony together, not only in the United States, but across that world. That dream is becoming a reality, not quite there yet, but it is becoming a reality. We had a dream of a woman in Mozambique who dreams that one day she'll live in a house made of brick. We trust and pray that through our giving to the World Development Appeal, that dream for her will become a reality. But I'd like to challenge you this morning to think about what dream you have for Uma. What is God's dream that he has laid on your heart for our town and for our countryside and for our nation? What type of society do you want your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren to live in? Is it the society that is moulded and structured around God's wisdom and grace and love and peace and seeking to live in obedience with him so that we may have all his abundant blessing? And how can we use what he has given us today to make that dream a reality? So I'd ask you today, tomorrow, during the week, over this Advent season, to think about that dream for a future society, not the one that will be elected on Thursday because it may or may not change things, but that dream of God prospering and blessing our nation because we are faithful and true to him, and how that would impact not just us, but the society around us, and in fact the whole world. And so I leave you with the final verse of that hymn that we sang. We have a dream. Each valley will be raised, and every mountain, every hill brought down. Then shall creation echo perfect praise and share God's glory under freedom's crown. Amen, and we thank God for his holy word, and we pray that he will apply his truth to our hearts and to our minds, to our dreams, and to our actions. Your offerings to God will now be received. Almighty God, we thank you for the wonder and the beauty of creation. We thank you, Lord, for the abundant life that flows over its surfaces and through its rivers and mountains and streams. And we thank you, O Lord, for the goodness and grace that pours from you to us, your people. We thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you have blessed us with resources, with homes, with families, with society. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, and help to extend that wonderful kingdom of yours throughout our town and throughout our nation and across our world. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we come before God once again in our song as we sing our final hymn, 611, The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. Let's worship him together.
Thank you.
Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.